From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The past two winters in the Northland have both been among the top five snowiest winters on record. Last winter was among the coldest on record in the Twin Ports. So what's in store for 2014-15? No doubt to the relief of many in the Northland, long-range outlooks continue to suggest that we may not experience a third consecutive abnormally wicked winter. According to the Duluth News Tribune, the latest winter outlook from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Climate Prediction Center continues to favor above normal temperatures for a large area extending from the West Coast across the Northern Plains and into the Northern Great Lakes, including the Northland. Forecasters are most confident of above normal temperatures along the Pacific Coast. Below normal temperatures are forecast for the Gulf Coast. The Northland is in an area projected to see no significant departure from normal for participation in the winter months. However, just to the east, covering much of Wisconsin and Michigan, it's an area favored for below normal precipitation. The Climate Prediction Center reported last week that the El Niño water temperature fluctuation in the Pacific Ocean, which can affect weather patterns around the globe, has not yet happened, but it could develop during the winter months. El Niño typically bring mild conditions and below normal snowfall to the Northland, but forecasters say that if El Niño develops this winter, it should be weak. As leaves are falling, the deepest of the Great Lakes water levels are rising, and that almost never happens. The Detroit Free Press reports the Midwest's brutal winter of 2012 and 13 is still impacting the Great Lakes, and it's contributing to water levels rising in the fall on Lake Superior and connected lakes Michigan and Huron, something they've only done a handful of times in a century and a half or more. Hydrologists at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory in Ann Arbor, Michigan, say Lake Superior's depths rose almost a half inch from August 1st to October 1st. Lakes Michigan and Huron rose almost 2 full inches. Averages calculated by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers going back to 1918 show Superior's levels typically drop more than an inch from August to October. Michigan and Huron usually drops almost 5 inches. Those measurements may not seem like much, but keep in mind how vast the lakes are. Lake Superior alone has 3 quadrillion gallons of water. That's 3 million billion gallons, 3 with 15 zeros behind it. Spread out, Superior could cover North and South America in a foot of water. Its surface area is the size of Maine. Lakes Michigan and Huron hold about 2 quadrillion gallons. The water's not just unusually deeper, it's colder as well. Last winter was the snowiest and one of the coldest ever around the Great Lakes. It led to some of the widest spread, longest-lasting Great Lakes ice cover ever. Lake Superior wasn't ice-free until June, and that had ongoing effects throughout the summer and into fall. Lakes Superior and Michigan are about 6 degrees colder this fall than they were last year. Lake Superior last week had surface temperatures of 46.6 degrees. Down nearly 3 degrees from its long-term average.
State Senator Tom Bach and District 3A Representative David Dill appeared before the Cook County Commissioners Tuesday morning to discuss areas of mutual concern. During the nearly hour-long exchange, topics ranged from possible wetlands mitigation legislation to the likelihood of the legislature acting to assume one-half the costs for the special prosecutor in the case of former Cook County Attorney Tim Scannell. Other items covered included assistance for the owners of failing septic systems, aid in developing workforce housing, and money to offset cuts to health and human services budgets. On the subject of wetlands, Representative Dill concluded with this comment.
I'm not sure that we can ever get to where there are never a fly in the ointment on wetlands. I'm just not sure that we ever get there because the landscape is so changing so dramatically. I'm certain that we can make big strides to make wetlands happen where it is needed and to give relief in areas where it's needed. And those would be my two goals, and that would be the goal of the legislation.
Another subject eliciting a lengthy response was the suggestion by Commissioner Bruce Martinson that Taconite Harbor might reopen as a shipping point for taconite pallets. This would be in response to the pressure placed on the transportation infrastructure by oil production out of North Dakota. Senator Bach acknowledged that this has, in the past, been considered and would continue to be a possibility. However, given the factors presently motivating decision-making within the Cliffs Natural Resource Corporation, the chance of any movement in the near future is remote. Representative Dill expressed their mutual feeling in this way.
If we can discover, or we get even a smell, of the opportunity to reopen Taconite Harbor for shipments, we will be all over. I mean, there will be the number one priority in the district, and I think every one of you know why.
Senator Bach spoke of the current legislature having the first balanced budget after more than a decade of managing deficits, and expressed a commitment on the part of the Senate to oppose any legislative action which would put the state back in a deficit spending mode. Both legislators acknowledge that Cook County competes for funds with other counties in the district and with the rest of the state. That challenge is made more difficult by the low tax rate enjoyed by Cook County residents, one which Senator Bach quoted as the lowest in the state.
Cook County's tax rate, last time I looked, is the lowest in the state. And it is very hard, I can just tell you, it's very, very hard to hold your hand out and say, you have to help. When everyone sees the runs and sees that your tax rate on a $100,000 home is the lowest in the state. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just the reality of where we're at.
More medical groups have joined in asking for a human health risk assessment on the proposed Polymet copper mine project near Hoyt Lakes. On Monday, officials from the Minnesota Public Health Association, Minnesota Medical Association, and three other groups called for state and federal regulatory agencies to look at how the mine might impact on human health. They've sent letters to Governor Mark Dayton asking for the formal health study because of the potential of Polymet copper mining and processing to increase mercury in fish, contaminate drinking water in the region, and expose workers and residents to unhealthy air. The group said the environmental review, which remains underway, fails to define the human health effects of increased mercury emissions, exposure to asbestos-like mineral fibers, and arsenic. The World Health Organization lists 10 chemicals of major public health concern. Sulfide or copper mining involves 5 of them, including mercury, arsenic, lead, asbestos, and air pollution. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.